thanks for joining us here on our YouTube channel. We just came out of an incredible service here on Father's Day at Grace Life Church. I brought a message entitled, The Promise of the Father, The Works of the Holy Spirit. We hope you enjoy it. And if you would subscribe to our channel, we would appreciate it and come back often to see new messages. Now enjoy this message of good news. God bless.
So I'll tell her to speak. Get your Bibles out if you would. We are in week 3 of our Holy Spirit series, and he's been helping us. We've seen the person. We've talked about the person of Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and that we are in relationship with the Trinity. We love to put forth and express their uniqueness in their distinctions, but they are one, and we are in union with them. And how do we participate in that union? Is through the indwelling Spirit of God. His presence is always with us, as we learned last week. And this morning, on Father's Day, I want to talk about the promise of the Father. Did you see the P's? He is a person. He's not a thing, an it, a symbol. He is a person. We talked about his presence, and this morning, the promise of the Spirit, which we, when we get into the promise of the Father, we're looking at the work of Holy Spirit in our lives today. Do you believe that he still works? We better. Francis Chan said that we must stop ignoring the work, the witness, and the wonder of Holy Spirit in our lives, in our homes, in our churches. Bill Johnson says that much of the church today relies more on the book the early church didn't have than they do on the Holy Spirit that they did have. The early church didn't have a book to read. They relied upon the Spirit of God to lead them. Thank God for the book, the words about the word that we have. But sometimes we don't need to find what's in there as much as we do what the Spirit is leading us. It will match up with the word of God written about him. But there are a lot of revelations that he will give you that will take you deeper if you will rely on the Holy Spirit in you. Can I get an amen? 60% of American regular churchgoers say that there is no Holy Spirit. Imagine that. 60% of American churchgoers say there's no Holy Spirit. You did? Shame on you. I shouldn't have said that. Not shame on her. She left her mic on, and then it cycles back through there, and she's going to turn that off, and it helps me. Thank you, Jen. 60% of American regular churchgoers say there's no Holy Spirit. They believe it's just a symbol representing the presence, the power, and the purity of God, but not a real person. And when you don't, I wanted to use this thing, and it was sounding so good this morning, so. When you believe it's just a symbol representing God's presence and it's not a person, those symbols will fade. Those symbols will lose their meaning. But the person that dwells within us permanently and forever is always there leading us and guiding us. We must rely. I said it last week, the kingdom of God cannot function in the earth without the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is it located? Romans 14:17, in the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. So the kingdom cannot function in the earth without the Holy Spirit being present. And yet 60% of American churchgoers don't even believe in the Holy Ghost or that he's working. The work of Holy Spirit is not to get you to conform to the culture or get you to conform to a doctrine, but rather to transform you. Let's look at Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2 together. I want to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you. That could even be church culture. This doesn't have to be a worldly culture. We don't imitate certain ideals or doctrines or opinions. A lot of what's coming forth from pulpits and TV and radio preachers and podcasts is opinion. Do you know that a lot of what Paul writes, if you'll read it and you'll really look at the words, he will give you his opinion. Then other places he will tell you what the Spirit says. Stop imitating the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. I believe the King James says, by the renewing of your mind. You can't renew your mind without an indwelling Spirit transforming you from the inside out. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to help us transform and not conform. So if you're conforming, it's like a mold. It's like, are you old enough to remember ice trays? And in the summertime, we would pour Kool-Aid in there, put saran wrap over the top of it, and put a toothpick down in the saran wrap. Oh, y'all aren't as old as I thought you were. See some heads shaking. And then they would take them out of the freezer, you take the saran wrap over, and you had a popsicle. Well, that popsicle conformed to the mold that it was placed in. We don't conform to the mold that the world or a church or any doctrine would try to get us to conform to. Does that make sense? Is that a good picture? We're being transformed not by outward stimulus. We're being transformed by the renewing of our mind through what the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us in our spirits. I'm on that today, and I want us to, the work of the Spirit is as He talks to you. How do I know it's His voice? It's probably going to sound a lot like your own. And then as He speaks to you, you yield to that. How do I know it's His voice? Well, I'm going to tell you, it will be to your benefit and not to your detriment. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Acts 1:4. He is the invisible, watch this, He is the invisible presence of who Jesus is. Though absent, because He told him in John that He would be going away and it was to their advantage for Him to go away, so He would not be present in a physical manner anymore where they could see Him, hear Him, and be taught from Him. But they would have an indwelling forever presence of the Spirit of God in them when the Spirit would come upon them. So the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, God's promise of the Spirit, is Holy Spirit dwelling within you. That's the invisible presence of who Jesus is. It's a mystery. What is? Christ in you. How? Through and by the Spirit. Many have made the work of Holy Spirit more to do with the emotion of how they feel or how they should act or how they should behave. I have heard a lot of sermons, and I could search the internet when I'm studying on the work of the Spirit, and I would guarantee you the majority of those dealt with how I felt, how I acted, and how I behaved, and what my emotion was and my feeling was, but the Holy Spirit didn't come to do any of that. He came to talk to you about Jesus. The work of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus, to witness of what Jesus came and did for us. And that's not a natural work. That was a supernatural work. May I encourage you today, as you begin in this journey, or you continue with your journey with Holy Spirit, that you begin and you start this afresh and anew without exclusions. We've excluded a lot of things and a lot of people because Acts doesn't say that on the day of Pentecost it was only poured out on the 120. Now there were 120 in the room where the Spirit began to pour out. But then Peter stands up and he says, this is that which the Holy Spirit, which the Father promised over in Joel 2:28, that I will pour out my Spirit on what? All flesh. See, we start excluding. If they don't match up with what we've taught or they don't dress the way that we think they should dress, we exclude the way he can work. We put him in a box. He can't work outside of these parameters, or he doesn't do it this way. You know, you would think that the older you get and the more experiences you have, at least your box size would increase. But it's amazing to me that it, just gray hair and gray beards don't mean that you're boxing. A lot of people still have him blocked up in a box that he can't work any. Stop excluding and start embracing the work of the Spirit. If you see something manifesting in someone's life that you don't agree with, but it's the work of the Spirit that's bringing about fruit in their life, I'm not going to put my hands on that. It may not be the way that I would have done it or thought that God would have done it, but the moment I start excluding certain, well, God doesn't work that way anymore. No, we need to embrace and not exclude. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. The Holy Spirit's work is Christ-centric. The words that the Holy Spirit speaks will always be pointing you to Jesus, will always be reminding you of what Jesus did, will always point to the Spirit of Christ. If it's not the Spirit, if it excludes Jesus, it's not the Spirit if it gets away from Jesus. Because is the volume of the book written of him? That was a question. Yeah, the volume of the book is written of him. And so if we get away from Jesus, we've lost track. We're not tracking with what the Spirit is saying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by, really the correct translation is the words of Christo, the words of Christ. The words of Christ spoken into our hearts and out of us by Holy Spirit, always Christ. The Trinity, the Father sent the Son because he loved the world. The Holy Spirit is reminding that this Father sent the Son, and he's sealing us. He has sealed us and continues to work and speak in us. I'm not going to get done. The work of the Spirit is creative. In Genesis, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So there he is, Holy Spirit, present in the story of creation. God's creative Spirit is Holy Spirit. Here he is, the picture of him. It is a picture of a mother hen that's brooding over her chicks, hovering over them in a life-giving act. And God's creative Spirit brings something out of nothing. And then he sits on it like a mother hen until it's hatched, newly formed and alive. So the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that brooded over the waters of the deep and the darkness of the earth that was formless and void and brought forth life and living things, is the same Spirit that the angel prophesied to Mary that would overshadow her or would brood over her and hover over her, and life would come out of it. Do you know when the law was given in Exodus at Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. It's not in the fact of how many died. The fact is that the law automatically brought death and leads to death. And that was on their Pentecost. But after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, when it had fully came, it said that 3,000 came to life. Again, it's not the number. It's the fact that the Spirit gives life. When the Spirit broods over, hovers over, and you encounter, it's going to be life-giving, creative, life-giving spirit. Then you jump over to chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. That's pneuma. In Hebrew, it's ruach, the spirit of God. So in verse 2 of chapter 1, the spirit of God, it's the ruach of God, the spirit of God, or Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 7, it's the breath of God. That's the ruach. In the New Testament, in Greek, it would be pneuma, the breath of God, or a blast of air from a life-giving source. God imparts himself in the breath of the Spirit into man. He continues to breathe into. If you take the Spirit of God out of the earth today, nothing would be alive. The Holy Spirit's work is for companionship and counsel. He's a forever friend, constantly with us. In John, the 14th chapter, verses 16 and 18, Jesus said, I will ask the Father to send you another helper, Parakletos, the Spirit of truth, who will remain constantly with you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. The promise of the Father was not to leave us orphaned by taking Jesus away. When Jesus came, he came revealing the Father. But when he went away, he sent the Spirit, who continues to reveal the Father to us through Jesus and not leaving us orphaned. You have a Parakletos, another one called alongside, just like the former. He's a helper, an advocate, a comforter. When you really break this Greek word Parakletos down, here's what you get. One close enough to the situation to help you make the right judgment call. But yet 60% of all churchgoers in America don't even believe that there's a Holy Spirit. Do you think that we are allowing the one that's close enough to the situation that knows all about it to help us make the right judgment call? He's a compass. That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, hear me out on this. The written law on stone tablets is not my moral compass. The Spirit of God living on the inside of me is to me, under this covenant that God made with the Son, he is the one who directs and guides. He does not force and drive you. He's leading and guiding you. He determines direction. He sets the course and trajectory of things. John 6:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That right there helps me to know that there are absolute truths. Jesus is truth, and the Spirit guides us into Jesus, who is all truth. There are certain things that are true about me that I have not yet become true to me, but as I surrender to the Spirit and listen to his voice and I encounter him, I begin to have experiences that help me understand, embrace, and become aware of the things that are already true about me. Does that make sense? But if you don't have a Holy Spirit leading you into truth, then these things that are true about you never become true to you, and you spin your wheels, and you conform to a culture, and you're not renewed by the Spirit in your mind in the way you think. That becomes habitual, making those decisions outside of letting the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you and become your compass. The culture that I grew up in seemed to me, I'm giving you opinion, it seemed to me that the church culture that I grew up in was more about woe than go. Wait on God. Are you sure about that? Pray some more. When you're going slow, go slower. Are these the things that we heard, Jen? But then as I started getting freedom and understanding who the Holy Spirit was in me and what he could do for me, and as I began to navigate life and learn to embrace the work of the Spirit in my life and became more aware of his presence and his voice speaking to me and guiding me, there was such a weight off of my shoulders, and it was a constant go, 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 go. And then in that go, you might hear, slow down, rest, wait. But if you take that slow down, rest, wait, whoa, and you just wait, then you get a culture of Christian couch potatoes that aren't going to move. God moves on a man or a woman who moves. That's not just a cliche, but as you're moving, as you're navigating through life and different circumstances come about, he will move on you to give you direction and to guide you. This is really good instruction this morning to help us in everyday life, not just to sit back and wait. See, a lot of people never get anything done in life or in the kingdom because they're waiting on God. I believe the waiting there is to throw a towel over your arm like a waiter and start serving. And as you serve and as you wait, then God will help direct your path. But don't just sit around to do nothing. Listen to the voice of God as he guides you, as you continue living life. I hope you receive that. Holy Spirit gives courage and confidence. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. There's a boldness and a courage that's a work of the Spirit, that when you feel this boldness coming on you and you don't know where that's come from, that's the Spirit of God giving you courage to move out, to step out in a certain direction, courage to try something that you've never tried before, courage to face the battle that you're going through. Because in this life, you will have tribulation without a doubt. But we need courage and we need confidence that he's leading and guiding us. And he gives us that boldness to speak out. That he gives us that boldness to step out. And sometimes he gives that boldness to stand in the midst of a storm. He energizes. Those were all C's, by the way, till we get to this one. And he energizes. I really am liking Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20, in the Passion Translation more and more. I've used it several times. Every time I use it, it just stirs my spirit. But never doubt God's mighty power to work in you. We're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit in us. The promise of the Father that he would send the Spirit of God, not just so you could say, I've got the Spirit, but that the Spirit would work in us. So never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Stop right there. What is it? Right now in your life, in what you're facing and what's going on, what is your greatest request? Think about it. Through the Spirit, the mighty power of God working in you, he is able to accomplish, and you will achieve infinitely more than that greatest request. What's your most unbelievable dream? What do you dream about that you've never told anybody about, or maybe just the closest person to you? What do you dream about? I'm not talking about just, oh, you want to go on a cruise to the Caribbean. What's the most unbelievable dream that you have? And he will exceed your wildest imagination. The problem that I think that we have is we've talked more about casting down vain imaginations than we have talking about letting your imagination run wild. I believe that your imagination is the Spirit of God stirring up inside of you to think creatively and outside of the natural and into the supernatural. He can exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. He equips you and unlocks the gifts that are within believers. The Holy Spirit is our divine encourager. John 16, verse 7 says, but here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send to you the divine encourager. The Holy Spirit's job within each and every one of us is to encourage us. If you write one thing down today, if you remember one thing as you go through this week, remember that the Holy Spirit is a motivator, not a manipulator. He will motivate you. That power that energizes you is to motivate you, not manipulate you. People will manipulate you, but the person of Holy Spirit will motivate you. I believe the Holy Spirit will motivate you if you will allow and surrender and yield to it to get up out of bed and go to work in the morning to provide for your family. I didn't get any amens on that one. I believe that He will motivate you to get up and perform your duties as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, as a citizen. He will motivate you to work and to maneuver and to express through Christ-centric words, the love of the Father towards everyone that you come in contact with. And out of that love, you won't try to manipulate anyone else. You will try to motivate them to receive what God has already done through them, through the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit educates, teaching us all things. He edifies us, builds us up in faith as we pray in the Holy Spirit according to Jude 20. Now, I want to set right there for just a second, okay? If you can be built up, if your faith can be built up by praying what Jude 20 says in the Holy Ghost, I mean, read your Bibles, I personally don't believe, and I believe that it would be truth to say, that it's not excluded from anyone. See, remember I told you earlier, stop using exclusions when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Start embracing. You have within you the creative ability and gift to speak in a heavenly language to the Father. I'm going to stay right here for just a second, okay? If I call on Bobby to come up and pray, and I give him the microphone, and Bobby comes to the front, and he begins to pray, he's not talking to you because he doesn't pray to you. He prays to God the Father in Jesus' name. So his prayer is addressed to the Father, and we have the privilege of hearing Bobby talk to God. Come on. Now, if Bobby comes up and he gets the microphone and I've asked him to pray publicly and he begins to pray in a language that you don't understand, guess what? He's not talking to you. He's talking to the Spirit. He's talking by the Spirit and through the Spirit to the Spirit of God in heaven. So he's not communicating with you, thus it does not need to be interpreted. If Bobby began to pray in Spanish and none of us learned Spanish and we don't know what he's saying, we would need an interpreter to understand that. But he's not addressing us, so we don't have to have the interpretation, but the Holy Spirit can give you the interpretation. I've heard people pray in the Spirit and I know what they're saying. Now, Mike comes up and he says, I've got a word from God for the people. And I give him the microphone and he begins to speak in tongues. Now he's addressing you because he had a word for the people. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 that it should be interpreted as he addresses the people. But your prayer language is for you communicating with the Father through the Spirit, and it builds up your faith. And nobody else doesn't even have to understand what you're saying. And it did not bypass anyone. His Spirit was poured out on all flesh. If I bought tennis shoes, the tongues came with them. They weren't separate. I'm encouraging you to pray in the Spirit. When I began to pray in the Spirit, it wasn't long phrases. It was syllables and sometimes grunts. Is it okay for me just to be honest with you? Because Christian, is he downstairs with his mom right now, is learning to make sounds. He's not communicating in sentences, and Mother, I would like a glass of cold milk in my favorite mug from the cabinet. My milk, Mama. He's making sounds. He's learning to communicate. That's the way it starts with your prayer language as well. And the more time that you spend communicating, just like Christian spends time communicating and hearing his mom and dad communicate, he'll pick it up, then sounds become phrases, and phrases become sentences, and sentences become paragraphs, till before long you're just praying in the Spirit and you're communicating in the Spirit with the Father, and his Spirit's bearing witness with your Spirit, and you're being built up, edified, and encouraged. And she'll probably clean this up later because she knows more about it than I do. But the Holy Spirit educates, edifies, and empowers us. Acts 1:8 says that but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What does it say after that? I didn't put it on the screen because I wanted to see what you thought. To be witnesses. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, what will he do? He'll be a witness. He'll testify. He's an eyewitness testimony of what Jesus did. When the Spirit comes upon you in power, you receive that power. I believe that when you believed, you are aware of that. You became awakened to that. Jesus didn't leave anything out when he sent the Father sent the Spirit. He gave it all to you. But you're awakened to different parts and elements of that as you grow and spend time with the Spirit. But it's to be a witness of what Jesus has done in your life for you. I mean, even David would begin to recall the victories that God had brought for him. We can begin to recall the things that God has done. Has he been good to anybody? He's been better to me than I've been to myself, for sure. I want to end with this. Trying to do the work of the kingdom without the Holy Spirit is the most confusing, exhausting, and chaotic work of all. I want to say it again. Trying to do the work of the kingdom in the earth without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit's power, is the most confusing, exhausting, and chaotic thing of all. But when we are awakened to Holy Spirit's work in us and through us, ministry flows freely. The gifts will flow freely through you to minister to others. Would you stand with me this morning on this Father's Day as we get ready to close out this service? The work of the Holy Spirit in you, what is he dealing with you about? The Holy Spirit, as we spend time with the Holy Spirit, he begins to work in us individually. We submit and surrender to his voice. We learn that. Then when we're in corporate worship and he begins to deal with you, that's why the word tells us to come with a song or a hymn or a word of praise or a word of encouragement. Then the Holy Spirit will give you courage and boldness to step out, to use that gift, because when that gift is in operation, as the Holy Spirit encourages and edifies you, it begins to encourage and edify the body. So as he would work individually with you is the same way that he would work corporately with us. The only difference is Paul gives us kind of an order of service, because everything is to be done in decency and order. Read 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. We don't want two or three up prophesying at the same time in the microphone, because that gets confusing. So there's someone that God puts in the service to help lead us and guide us and keep that in some order in a corporate worship service. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you on your own outside of this public worship service, you don't need my permission to do anything. You don't have to call me up and say, I have this leading, or I'm supposed to do that, or do it. If that's what God says, here's what I get a lot. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to do such and such. We or you? Because a lot of times I get that because you want the church to finance it. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about something, he wants you to take care of it. And if the Holy Spirit led you and guides you, he will provide for you in that. Because I have found out he's never told me to give $100 when I didn't have $100 to give. There are manipulators out there that told me I was supposed to give $100 that I didn't have to give. But the Holy Spirit will never tell you to give what you don't have to give, or to do what you don't have the ability to do. That was pretty good right there. But just a little bit of encouragement in how the public worship service, the corporate gathering, works as opposed to the individual leading of the Holy Spirit, because I know there are people who stand in pulpits that tell you you need their permission to do anything. I'm not your Lord. I'm not your Holy Spirit. And please, I don't even enjoy the pressure of saying, do you get confirmation? Be confident that the Lord has spoken to you. Now, if the Lord does help me or show me, I'll be glad to share that information with you. But I don't call people up and tell them very many things of what to do. Now, if people call me and the Lord says something, I will try to share with that. But you all can call each other up and do the same thing. It just doesn't have to be me or Lisa. There are men and women of God all over the place that hear from God. But the Holy Spirit gives confidence and boldness, and we need to mature to a place that we know that we're hearing his voice and we do what he's telling us to do, or we say what he's telling us to say. This is going deeper with the Holy Spirit. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to mature us. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, but maturity is not found in gifts, how they are used is, but real maturity, spiritual maturity, is found in the fruits. Do you love people? Because you can get up and prophesy and speak in tongues, but are you loving your one that's hard to love?
Amen. Thanks for watching. Lisa and I want you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. Be sure to tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our live broadcast. Now go and live a grace-filled life.